Today, so we just sing a song.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's
right. Y'all pray for Brother Bob. He's on his way back from McKaysville. So it's exactly where he's from. It's McKaysville. So I need to turn my mic on. Okay, we're going to sing this little song for you. Just clap along and sing along if you know it. If you don't, just listen.
A woman one day tried many physicians. Her trouble grew worse in the Bible we're told. One day when she heard, she came unto Jesus. She found what she needed for body and soul. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch some part of his robe, I know I'd be healed. Sins all forgiven. If I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole. Bartimaeus once sat by the wayside begging, nobody to help him on life's weary way. Oh, then Jesus came by, his cry. He touched his blind eyes and he healed him that day. We've all been there, right? Oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch,
thank you, Lord,
some part of his robe, I know I'd be healed. My sins all forgiven. If I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole.
Now this is for me and you.
One day as I sat by the wayside of begging, nobody to help me down life's weary way. Then Jesus came by, heard my sad cry. He reached down his hand and he saved me that day. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch,
thank you, Lord,
some part of his robe,
think about it.
I know I'd be healed. My sins all forgiven. If I could just touch him,
let's stand to our feet and sing it like this. Sing it with me.
Right now you can touch the hem of his garment. Right now you can touch some part of his robe. Sins all forgiven. Right now you can touch him and you can be whole.
Amen. If I could just get to him and touch his garment, she said, I'll be made whole. But we've got full access now. Amen. We have got full access. That's an old song. The Naps used to sing that too, you know. So we'll save that. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here today. Like I said, this morning was a little bit more electrifying today. We had everybody in Sunday school class, and we had everybody going where they're supposed to go, and we all stayed with the program, and it all worked out real good. So, by way of announcement, Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. Brother Luis will be preaching the next Wednesday, the 26th. All right. Also, now this will be May the 30th. May the 30th, last Sunday of this month, after the second service. I believe we had two young people graduate last year, which COVID kind of knocked all any partying out of that. And then we've got two this year. So, Sister Nyla, Brother Benjamin, Brother Josiah Canada, and Sister Esther Black, we will be honoring them at a graduation. We'll have a cake with some ice cream on May the 30th after the second service. Has everybody got that? Amen. Cake and ice cream to honor the graduation of the four, for two from last year, two from this year. We may have some more coming up, but thank God that these people are trying to do their best in school, trying to be a part of, not a part of the world, but you gotta have an education now or you're just not gonna make it. So, we want to, honor them for that. And also, I'm making a song list for specials. And I've got pretty much everybody down. If you want to be, if you see the list next Sunday and you're not on it and you want to be included, please tell somebody, one of the song leaders or myself, that we'll get a song list going to where we can rotate this thing around. The different ones can sing specials. Amen. Also, the sisters need to meet after second service in my son or Brother Boyd's Sunday school class. Okay? Everybody got that? All the sisters that are going to the Father's Day trip. I'm still not understanding that. So anyway, and also we don't have to meet this Sunday, but it's just saying. Also remember the 16th through the 19th, we'll have ours. But remember June the 15th. Make sure you remember this. June the 15th is a Tuesday night. That's when we will be having church service. We're not going to have it on Wednesday, so the sisters can leave Wednesday morning. We can leave at 4:00 Wednesday afternoon. We'll have an extra day this year, brothers and young'uns, to be able to, swim, fish, whatever you want to do. We'll have an extra day for that. So we're going to be leaving at 4:00 or be up there at 4:00 on Wednesday. So we're going to have church service on June the 15th. That will be a Tuesday, just like we do some other times. All right. Everybody got that? Also remember July the 3rd, Brother Forney will be preaching here. July the 4th, we'll be at Hidden Acres and we'll get the, address and all down. They do have a physical address and it's a sign now they've got on the road and there's a physical address sign on the highway, so you can't miss it. Really easy to find. All right, and that's what we'll be having Sunday service on July the 4th. So good to be in the house of the Lord. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews 9 and continue on our thought with the eternal redemption. We'll get into a little thought maybe toward the end that we haven't discussed yet because we're heading. We've got to talk about this man that the plan's hinged on. It's hinged on Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not hinged on me and you. We are a part of the plan. But it's hinged on him getting us out of the problem we had. And the plan is helping us to get out of that. Amen. Because we can't get out of it ourselves. Man has tried for years and years and thousands of years to save themselves and they can't do it. All right. So Hebrews 9. Remember these announcements, and like I said, thank you all again for going to doing your Sunday school duty and everybody doing it in an orderly fashion. There was no disruption. There was no calamity. It was all done really well, and I appreciate that. And all you Sunday school teachers, thank you so very much for what you do. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that you sanctify us for this journey that we're on, Lord. Please, Lord, you be the one that comes and does the speaking. You be the one that does the revealing, Father. We pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here today, Lord. The ones that have ailments in their bodies, we pray that you'd just touch them, Lord, and heal them, Lord. Even as the word goes forth, you said, Lord, you sent your word and healed the people and delivered them from destruction. Lord, thank you for the ones that are here, Lord. We pray that there would be something said today that'll just fire up that spirituality part of us, Lord, towards you, and that we'll have a better relationship with you, Father, and shed the world off, at least for a few moments, Lord, to listen to what's being said, Father. Just take care of us, lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Bless people. Bless Brother Bob, Lord, on the way back home, Father, for doing his duty there at McCaysville, and the ones, Lord, that are out doing other things. We pray that you just touch each one. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. I've been reading in Solomon about how they built that building. Man, what a building they built, God, in the Old Testament there. What a building. They took them 30 years almost to build that building and to build a place for Solomon to live. And they didn't even have, it was so perfect. They had the plan laid out. They knew that this rock needed to be 15 inches wide, and somebody over there made it and had it shipped there. It's kind of like a prefab that we have a prefab house now, because the Bible said no hammer and no saw was heard in the building of the temple. No hammer, no saw, everything. And you know what? That's a testament that the Word of God is right. The Word of God will fit together if you'll let it. They don't have to be no bunch of noise, a hammer and nails and all that stuff. If you'll just let God, he's already got the pieces. The pieces are there for us to what? Just put it where it's supposed to go. That's the thing. Put it where it's supposed to go. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated. Let's read 1 John 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Hereby is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he as he is, so are we in the world. I'm glad Brother Dale covered that about the judgment, because it is confusing to the world. It shouldn't be confusing to the bride, that we don't stand the major judgment of anything. We're not in the major tribulation. We're not in major judgment, but there are things if we don't get taken care of. Like the thing that I had with the brother that I said something about and I had to get it right. If I hadn't got that right, I was going to meet that, right, not at the day of judgment, but at the reward ceremony. Remember, Brother Branham had a reward ceremony, remember? They were giving him his reward, and remember Hope came up on this side and Mita came up on this side, and they went up the steps to get his reward. And they told him he was a special person. Why? Because he gave his life to get me and you the gospel. So there are levels, and I don't understand, because there's not a level of eternal life. Eternal is eternal. But there is positions there, and you say, well, I thought we all going to be one. Well, we are going to be one, but remember, Israel will never be the bride. Right. Right. Adam, you got Abraham, you got they are not, won't be bride and never will be bride. They have a position, because I'll read it here, that remember, Jehovah had to divorce his first bride. Right. So she'll never carry that position again as the bride. Right. We're the bride. We live in the city. They can come in the city and go out of the city, but the Bible even tells us that the kings of the earth will bring their goods into the city. Right. And I like what Brother Claude said, they bring their tithes in. But there are kings, so there must be a hierarchy, and it must be some kind of, it's not anarchy, but there must be some kind of a government set up outside the temple, or outside the new city, and it won't be that, well, I'm better than you, but it will be that, you know, you may have done better than me in a certain situation, you may have done better than Brother Luis in a certain situation, and you'll be known for that. Because I believe Brother Branham will always be known as the prophet of the end time. He won't ever lose that. He won't ever lose that title. So that's the same way. But now remember, like what I was reading up there in Timothy, if you don't get it confessed and get it out of the way, Brother Michael was confessing just a few minutes ago. He had to do the same thing about somebody. It makes you feel so good and so clean. You never have to worry about that anymore. So that will not be a crown taken away. That'll be actually a crown given, because you went an extra step to ask forgiveness. But if not, then that thing has to go with us. Right. Some man's sin go before, some go after. Right. All right. So if we send that sin and let it be covered by the blood, and we take this love to where, watch now, See, we get down to verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he also seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So there you go. That's why brotherly love is way up there on that pyramid. It's not down at the bottom. Because it's a character development that we all need to develop, that we all need to have working in our life. All right, so let's read Ephesians 1. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, I sat in this morning and I thought, man, as many times as Brother Dale, Brother Luis, Brother Bob, and myself, and Brother Aaron's read that scripture in the past 2 months, they ought not be no questions. We can almost quote it by heart because we've all used it in our sermon in some part in the past several months. But you know what? When God does that, I think he's trying to tell us something. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's a position that we've got to come to that we should be holy and without blame. You say, boy, my, listen, God don't blame you. The devil's the one that does the blaming. Okay? So if we do go without blame, we're listening to God. And as John told us, he said, if you don't have the love of God, you don't understand what the love of God is. And you can't have the love of God. You look at the world is trading agape love with what they think is agape love. It's just filial love. Right. And it'll only come to a certain spot and it will end. Same way with the people that's in the message. If they have true agape love, you'll never leave the message of the hour. Right. You may have questions, you may have problems, you may have situations where you don't understand things, but you'll never ever in your soul say this is not right. Because how can agape love contradict agape love? But now filial love will always contradict agape love. You can't trade them. They can't be traded and you can't carry a filial love into another dimension, but you can take agape love into any dimension you want to. Amen? Hey, even agape love went to the fifth dimension, but he didn't stay there long. Amen? Jesus went to hell. That was agape love. But see, that was the love of God to even go to hell to tell them people. Right, right. I'm the one you turned down. You made a choice to be where you're at. And I can't do anything about it. Though I'm Almighty God and I have the perfect love, I can't take you out of that situation. Right. I was reading the other day, Brother Brown said, death doesn't change anything. Just your dwelling place. If you're a sour here, you're going to be sour there. If you're XYZ, you're going to be XYZ there. It's not going to, and I think maybe sometimes the denominational world, and I don't even know maybe some of the people, the message think that, you know, once they die and go over into another dimension that's going to better themselves. No. This is where you get better. Or this is where you get worse. See, that's the eternal plan of redemption, that God had to come into this part of our world that was fallen, that we knew we were going to die. And listen, we were spiritually dead. He had to come into this dimension and bring agape love. Show me, because listen, Brother Brown said outside of the bride, there'll be no love. Why? Because the bride will be the only one that has agape love. And agape love is translated the new birth. There is no agape love outside of new birth, and there is no new birth outside of agape love. Right. Now, Brother Brown, I read you that quote where Brother Brown said, you love with your spirit, but that's only filial love. That's not agape love. Never can and never will be. If it stays in your outside realm or your second realm of you, you're lost on the inside. Agape love is not squishy, ushy, gushy, greasy grace love. Agape love is corrective love. It's love that God loves you and he wants to tell you. He's already told you in the Bible. The problem is we sometimes say, well, that's not God because it's too hard. Or that's not God because I don't think God would have me do that. There was a girl a couple of days ago talking about going to church, and one of the guys at work asked the girl there, said, do you wear your jeans to church? You know what they always say? God knows my heart. Doesn't matter what I wear, God knows my heart. And I thought, yep, he does. That's why you go to church with your pants on, because God knows your heart. But see, let me tell you something. unless that girl gets born again, she's going to have to meet God with that same attitude. And he's going to say, I know your heart because I, and see, they think, but see, that's what I'm saying is, they think that negates what the word said. But I love God. So I'm going to go to church naked, but I love God.
Right?
Or I'm going to go do this and do that because, listen, the devil has sold this plan. He has a plan too. It's not a plan of redemption, it's a plan of destruction. And he wants to destroy this whole plan of redemption. But listen, if it's an eternal plan, Satan cannot get his greasy hands on an eternal plan. Because there's nothing about him eternal. He can't make eternal. He can't give eternal. He has no eternal to give. Listen, that's something you can do that the devil can't do. You can give your eternal life away. Or you can connect somebody to your eternal life. A cup of water in my name. Change my tire on the side of the road. You can impart eternal life, something Satan cannot do. He only imparts evil. But see, he uses filial love to make you think you got agape love. That's what's happening in the message of the hour. They just think it's shouting and speaking in tongues and whoop-de-doo, and I felt that, so it must be good. Okay. It's okay. So let's see how the life, let's continue. That's why God's let this thing go so long. He's continued to allow us to go so long to where that what happened with the mixed multitude, what happened with the ones that died in the wilderness, they just kept going away, going away. Where there was only two original, Joshua and Caleb was the only two. Listen, Moses was even gone. There was just Joshua and Caleb and a group that had grown up that didn't know the first group of people. And God has done that now. He's raised up not a young, as far as young age, but a young group of people coming to the end time that's going to be able to go across that promised land and not only go across the promised land, but to be positionally placed as we read this here because this is all, look at verse 5, having predestinated us unto adoption. Not just to a child, but to adoption. To where you and I can speak and things will happen. I'm just telling you what God said. Amen. To the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Right. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, as Brother Dale was saying this morning, the mystery of his will. What's the mystery of his will? To adopt you, to save you, to make you a child of God. That's the mystery. Listen, you can't talk about adoption or growth development out in the denominational world, and most of the message people don't think you have to have that. What do you mean I gotta go up? I got everything when I believed. You might have got a part, but you just came into a place that you could get it. See, you can't get any of that. See, Brother Branham, when he preached Statue of Perfect Man, he knew there was some, because of filial love, they could go up that Statue of Perfect Man and just be a human. That's what he said. He said, you can have some of these virtues without having the Holy Ghost. But you can't have Holy Ghost temperance. You can't have Holy Ghost patience without having the agape love to connect it to. It just won't fit. But if you have agape love, that's why the prophet of God, and why Brother Dale said many times, and I agree, that there's a lot of people in this message that does not have the new birth. Because they've never been taught right, they've never been taught well, and they're just sitting in a message church and dying. Because if you have agape love, folks, if you have agape love, which is the new birth, it will connect to, Brother Brown said, every word in the Bible. So every word in the Bible says, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness are required virtues. And it takes a fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, to bring you that. Only under agape love can you have that whole deal. The whole plan is hinged on you having the new birth. And it hinged on you, as John says here, believing something you hadn't even seen. How can you, says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who has not seen?
Right.
We haven't seen God, but we have now. We have now through His Word, we know where to look for Him at. Amen? We know to look that we had a prophet that turned us, literally turned us back to the faith of the fathers. Look, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one, all things in Christ. Listen, there's not 10 brides. There's not 2 brides. There's 1 bride. And we know who that is now. Because the Methodists say, we're bride. The Pentecost say, we're bride. The Baptist says, we're bride. The people says, always was eternal. They say they're bride. So who's bride? You gotta know. You gotta know who's bride. But we gotta keep going on and on and on. Because look, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We literally obtained this. We weren't born with it. Listen, if you were born perfect, why all the trouble? What kind of testimony would you have? Really? Come on. I told my kids they wanted to be famous. I said, just do everything your parents told you to do. I said, you'll be famous. Nobody's ever done it in the world. They did. They said, how can I be famous? I said, you'll be on Oprah Winfrey and all them other shows. If you can stand up and say without lying, I did exactly what my parents told me to do. They ain't a person on earth ever did that. Except one.
Right.
And he had a problem with his parents at one time. Jesus did, of course. You know that. In whom also we have obtained redemption, or an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Let's read this next quote. Tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? Now, this is the prophet telling us, only in the end time. When will there ever a time in history that to manifest the time to deliver all nature? You see, Moses had an anointing to do what he was supposed to do. But he didn't deliver all nature. Now all nature fell on Egypt almost. But we're talking about to bring this thing back. I was thinking this the other day. Everybody brought it back to a degree. To upright. Everybody brought it to a degree and then they had to stop. Because they didn't have the fullness of the word. And you know, even Baptists and Methodists, they brought it to a degree. God was working through those denominations before they were denominations. He was working with the word they had, but what did they do? They stopped. God said, don't stop, keep moving. They said, nope, this is it right here. Once saved, always saved. Don't have to worry about it no more. Let me just sprinkle you. Don't worry about it no more. Let me just speak in tongues. Don't worry about it no more. You're born again. Well, see, God just said, nope, I'm moving on. That's why God had to bring us a prophet that He moved on in the astronaut age. And to deliver all nature, nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of manifestation. Now we know that's Romans 8, verse 14 through about 20. Why, before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, in the Old Testament, on down, look, there couldn't have been manifestation. It had to wait till this time. Now all things have been brought, coming, shaping to a headstone, to the manifestation of the sons of God coming back, and the Spirit of God coming into these men, so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till they'll join Him and His church together. Now how in the world are we going to have a ministry like Jesus Christ? If you have agape love, you're on the road right there already. But if you don't have agape love, you just had the love that the Pharaoh had or love that Caiaphas had or all the different ones like that. They had a certain portion of love that they could love. But you know what? When the very epitome of agape love, when the very headstone of love walked into their temple, they killed Him. They killed Him. Called Him Beelzebub. Called Him the Prince of Devils. Called Him the worst of the worst. Wine bibber. All He done was hung around prostitutes and sinners. And that was agape love sitting there. The epitome, not just the part of, He was all of agape love. Everything He was. What do you think, how do you think Peter patterned these virtues from? From Jesus Christ. That's where he got them from. He didn't get them from nobody else. Amen. He got them from Jesus Christ, which was perfect love.
Yes.
But we had a prophet that went over into another dimension called the sixth dimension. And he saw that. Let's skip on to that, if you don't mind, brothers, and go to number two. We know about the dimensions now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. We've been through them all. We're going to kind of get away from that now and keep on continue going to perfect love. Just keep going. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. There you go. All right. He says, look, this is perfect love. Go down to the red or to the yellow for y'all. This is perfect love. Said, isn't that what you spoke the Holy Spirit was? I said, yes. And this is perfect love. That's what he went across the curtain of time. Now watch him in Hebrews chapter 4, number 3. Quote says, the first is perfect love. That's God's love. Pure and unadulterated. Now see, it's not greasy grace. It's not sloppy love. Right? This love has judgment behind it. This love is a righteous judge. Listen, God would that all would be saved. Right? See, that's agape love. That he would that all be saved. But in order to be God and to be a righteous judge, he had to allow you to make a choice whether you would accept that agape love or not. And some will. And some will not. But we know one thing for sure. When Brother Branham went across that curtain of time, that's all he saw. You can say perfect love, agape love, same thing. That's all he saw. He didn't run into somebody that didn't have it. Right. He didn't see of the millions of people, he didn't see one that didn't have it. No, every one of them had it.
Right.
But listen, they didn't receive it there.
That's it.
They received it right here. This is where you receive perfect love. This is where you receive agape love.
Amen.
I think a lot of people are waiting to get perfect over there.
Right.
And you look at your denomination world, you say, oh, well, when I get over yonder. Well, I hope their over yonder ain't the over yonder that ain't a good over yonder.
Right.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.
But that's what they've been taught. And that's all that we can go by. But we've been taught different. You and I have been taught the correct way to receive agape love and what to do when that agape love comes.
Amen.
Amen. All of you. And as Brother Ryan was talking about this morning, what happens, you're born with a gift. See, Elvis Presley was born with a gift. There's no doubt. And there's a lot of other great entertainers and even, you say, comedian. Anybody that can take a thought, whether it be evil or good, that can take a thought and make hold people's attention and make them laugh or make them cry, they've got a gift. There's a gift there, but you have to attach it to either the devil or to God.
Right.
Same way with what did he say about Elvis Presley sold his soul for a fleet of Cadillacs? Well, see, he was telling us he was a Pentecostal boy, a good Pentecostal boy when he was growing up. But he took that anointing, and what did he do with it? He turned it over to the devil for money, but he could have turned it over to God and been probably one of the, like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and some, be some great something, because he had such an anointing. Listen, you read some of these people, what kind of anointing they had, what kind of presence they had when they walked into a room. Even other things that go on that they could make women do and make men do and make people do things that's ungodly. But what if they were to turn that in? That's the same thing, Brother Dale, myself, any good minister. We're not trying to make you do something, right? But what we're doing is opening up a channel so that you can see what God's already said. We're not bringing some kind of new thought.
Amen.
You know, where it's not some reservation in there. No, it's all been open.
Right.
If you've read anything of the message of the hour, you know the principles, or like I said, you know the essence of the message.
Right.
All the other things are the other peripherals. It's already in the Bible. And it's like I said before, the people leave the message, they must throw the Bible out because they start cutting their hair and smoking and drinking. That was in the Bible before William Branham got here.
Right.
That was taught back in old Pentecost. So why not, if you're going to go back to something, go back to that.
That's right.
At least you might have a chance over there. But you won't have no chance. You just leave the greatest thing it ever was and you turn yourself out to nothing.
Right.
And it's happening all the time. Because look, the next comes in filial love. That's love that you have for your wife and your children. The next drop after that is what? Lustful love. The next is ungodly love. And that's what you yield yourself to. Kids, don't yield yourself to even playing music of the world. If you can help it. Now, concerts and things like that, you have to do. Let's not be so dogmatic. You know. School, thank you, Josh. School concerts. There's a reason I had him. School concerts. But that's what I meant. Any kind of something that you're, you know, told to play Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, play it. You're in school. Do the thing. Don't make it a rock and roll party. That's going to be the part that you're going to have to deal with. Yeah. But use your talent for the glory of the Lord, because you know what? You have an anointing. You have an anointing. Just every one of these, this is just instruments to use and to channel your anointing through. Right. I don't know why. I guess I'm picking up on what Brother Dale was talking this morning. But it's a channel that you channel what you have already. Right. You take a piece of music, or you take a scripture, or you take the prophet's message, and you weave together something that you try by the Lord, by the help of the Lord, that you convey it to one person maybe today. Just one person is going to get this today. But that person, being a child of God, God's not going to leave them hungry. He's going to feed them. Whether the rest of you say, well, I'm full. I got full before I got here. It's like Louise said, you know, sometimes we do. We think, well, we done heard all this about 20 times. No, there's always a little something that you can get. There's always, God will never return void. His word will never return void. It will accomplish what it set out to do. The problem is we quench the Spirit of God by our attitude. This is not part of the service, but let's just continue down that road. No. The next is ungodly love, and just goes down till it's filth and keeps on perverting. And like Brother Dale says, listen, you all got a gift. Everybody does. Of something. But if you'll use it and stay in that gift, it's like, then Brother Brown said, no, if you got an anointing of Ephraim, what are you doing over in Manasseh's cornfield? What are you doing over here? You need to get into what? Hey, right. Listen, this plan needs people. Amen. This plan of redemption, and you know what? God saw you fit into that anointing. That's right. You just got to figure out whether it's you or God. Listen, if you're a born-again Christian, to help Brother Ryan with his question this morning, if you're a born-again Christian, did I not say prayer was a vehicle to talk straight to God? Right. You don't have to go in, and you don't have to, listen, you don't have to find a mentor. Correct. Right. You talk straight to God. Now listen, God may choose to speak to you through Brother Dale. But he's not the mediator. Right. Amen. We've got one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ, because he can't forgive your sins. I can't forgive you your sins, but I can help you pray. I can try to get you in a channel. That's what a song leader does. Gets you in a channel so that God can talk to you. See, we think, well, now Brother Boyd's going to get up and he's going to sing three songs. Brother Wade's going to come out and he's going to preach, and that's it. No, they're setting a stage and a channel so that God can talk straight to you. Through the ministry. To me, that's agape love. And he'll not leave one of us. Not one of us. He'll leave us behind. Right. Will not leave us behind, folks. I promise you, he will not. You say, well, I don't understand. I don't understand. If you've got agape love, somewhere God is obligated to put somebody in the pulpit you can understand. Because right. Yeah. He's not going to leave. Why confuse your own kids? Why would God confuse his own children? The Bible tells us why. If your child asks for bread, you give it a piece, give it a stone. He asks for meat, you give it a scorpion. What kind of a daddy is that? No, he's a good dad. He's a good dad. Let's continue on with number four. Let's read the red. Except you have that perfect love, you'll never be there, because nothing could ever be there without it. This is what we've been touching on. I got a little head, I'm sorry. But your spirit would be out of place there. You see, When Elvis Presley was probably in the anointing of the Pentecostal realm, man, it was good. Cause he had an anointing. People would listen and they would respond to him. But what did he do? He got caught up in himself and he took on another spirit. And it wasn't holy. Amen? So that pushed him in another direction and that took him where he was at. And Brother Brown said sent more people to hell than the bar joints at that day would send them to hell. He sent them to hell. Wow. Let's read number 5. Brother Dale's talking about gifts. Look, where there is gifts, they can be questioned. But when there is love, it is perfect. That's right. And if you had perfect love, you'd have perfect gifts. That's right. So work first with love. That brings fellowship, and fellowship brings gifts. Amen? Because you don't want to have worldly knowledge. You want to have knowledge of God. You don't want to have just regular, normal faith. You want to have the faith of God. These virtues are the virtues of God. And it takes a perfect faith to have that. Look at number 6. Christ was revealed in his own word. It's that anointing. Now, this is only in this age, that Laodicean age, naked, blind, miserable, don't even know it. It's that anointed with the real spirit. See, that Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit. But his soul is his germ, and that germ is the word. And how, I don't care how much you can preach, how well you do this, and how much you love, that's one of the inlets to spirit. You can't love with your body. You love with your spirit. Amen. That's one of the inlets. And you can love and even love God and still not be right. You can cast out devils and preach and do these things, still not be right. Jesus said so, said many would come in that day. That word settles it. In other words, the word is the whole thing that we're looking at today. We're going to read that in just a minute where God sent the word to us. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the word. Word was with God and the word was God. But let's read number 7. This is a quote I quoted you Wednesday night. Real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. Real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. I love that. Now the next quote, we'll get started here. We were looking at the chart where Jesus comes into play. Because look, David, when we were talking about prayer this morning, David knew there was a Messiah coming. All the people in the Old Testament knew there was a Messiah that was coming, but they'd never seen him before. They'd seen him in part through different prophets and the word and the different things that they brought, but they knew it had to be blood that come in to bring this thing to pass. So God had to create to bring blood into the world to offer that blood. So God had to create himself a blood cell. So he did that by what? Becoming a baby. He became a baby. Behold, Isaiah 7:14 says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. Everybody in the Old Testament was looking toward that. They were looking for something to come. They were looking for the Redeemer. Even Job says, I know there's a problem here. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that I, in the last day, I'll stand in my own body and in my flesh. I shall see God. But they didn't see him in there. But look, Matthew 1:19 says, Jesus, when he was born, remember Joseph had a dream because it was kind of hard for him to conceive that she had conceived. But this child is conceived by the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Now look, save his people from their sins. Today we're going to cover that. It's what I've been trying to get to. Because remember, he came to a group of people. He didn't come to Gentiles. Not at first. Because the whole Old Testament was what? Jews. Jews. There's a spattering of Gentiles every once in a while got put into that. You saw Brother Brown this morning talk about Rahab and all the different ones, that there was a few Gentiles. But Jehovah had a bride that was Jewish. Because that was his first people. That was his chosen bride. That was the ones he was going to work through. But now remember, God knows all things. He knew what they would do. And he knew he would want to get a Gentile bride. So, he sent Jesus. And Jesus stood up one day and said, don't go to nobody but my people. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't even go to the Gentile. Call them dogs. But deep down inside of that man, somewhere he knew that he was going to have a Gentile bride, because every time he would come up against a Gentile, the centurion, the woman he called a dog, and all the different ones, he would get up. He said, I've never seen faith like this in Israel. So he knew that the Gentile bride would have more faith. Because what does Israel have faith in? Signs, touch me. Remember Jairus, come and lay hands on her, come and do this. Brother Bram talks about it many times. A Jew, you got to have what? Signs. That's why God's got to send two prophets to Israel when we're out of here. He's got to send them two prophets, and they're going to do signs and wonders, signs and wonders, signs and wonders, signs and wonders. Because they're Jewish. They have to have that. But we read yet Wednesday at Isaiah 53, and I believe we should read it again. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, he wasn't an Elvis Presley. He wasn't somebody that was easy to pick out in a crowd. He kind of fit in. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Listen, even the 11 disciples that were with him, they left him at Calvary. They did not really know what was going on. They knew this man was different. They knew he was special. I know what Peter said, thou art the Christ, but I don't. He said, you heard that from my father. Right? Didn't he tell Peter? He said, you heard that from my dad. You didn't get that on yourself. You heard that from my father. He put that in your mouth to speak that, because you don't understand who I am. But when you interject agape love into that on the day of Pentecost, they understood. Because Peter stood up and preached a sermon. Listen to this. Have y'all lost my quotes back there? If you need to, go back to Wednesday night on number 18. If you need to. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Because this is basically what I preached Wednesday night. Except for a few added scriptures. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes. We are healed. And as I said before, he was the Lamb of God. He was the sin bearer. He was the one that was put on the altar. He was the one that was beaten and bruised for your healing. But healing's only temporary. The Bible says right here that he gave his soul a ransom so that he could see his seed. And we're going to talk about, because remember what happens in the Bible, in the parable of the sower of the seed. Who's the sower of the seed? The Son of Man. The Son of Man's the sower of the seed. That was Jesus Christ in human flesh. He was the sower of that seed. As we all sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't have a wonderful time here, you know. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? So who's going to declare his generation? Only people that are born again. Listen, there's been generation upon generation upon generation upon generation. But there's never been a generation that was born without sex. Never. Never been a generation that didn't have some kind of an act or some kind of genealogy going one way or the other, right? So this, the Bible says, who shall declare his generation? Because or for he was cut off out of the land of the living. Listen, Isaiah caught that and said, well, this guy's going to die. He's going to die and not have any children. How's he going to be this person that's going to give eternal life to everybody? Well, you're going to see it right here. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Amen. Not a progeny from the earth or a progeny from somebody doing something here on earth. No, it came from Almighty God. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. Listen, his soul was what was in anguish on the cross. His soul was what? His soul is what he was giving for your soul. His soul is what was paying the price. Not the body. The body paid for the healing part. The body was the lamb. But that, and that, listen, that human body didn't come back on you. And I'm not to say it didn't do any good, but I'm telling you, what I'm saying is the literal body of Jesus doesn't make you eternal. It's the soul. The soul of Jesus Christ is what makes you eternal, because he knows. Listen, when he looked around, he saw all that genealogy that was produced by the garden, by sex, and he knew, I believe in his mind, he's like, man, these people are trapped. There's nothing they could do. This is a cycle. They've got to be born by sex, die, go into whatever dimension. But he knew that if he could give his life, give his soul a ransom, he would see his seed. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Why? Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. You can't kill a soul. The one that can kill a soul is the one he's talking about. You can't kill a soul. There's not a soul died yet. They're somewhere. They're in a slot. They're in a dimension somewhere that they got to wait till the day of judgment. Listen, I was thinking about this the other day. Even though God knows every person exactly what they're going to say at the judgment and exactly what's going to go on at judgment, he's still going to let them present their case. Why would we have a white throne judgment if he wasn't going to let them give their case? Right? Because the Bible tells us that many will come in that day and say, have I not? They're going to make a case. Have I not healed the sick? Have I not cast out devils? He said, depart from me. I never had an agape love relationship with you. And that's exactly what it is. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, Jesus was on the cross. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And that spirit went to hell and preached to the what? The ones in the souls that were long suffering of the days of Noah. He knew they were going to die and reject him too. But you know what? He still had to go through the plan. Even though the plan of Revelation 13:8 says he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, he had to come down here and die the death. You know who he's proving it to? The devil. He's proven all this to Satan that, hey, I'm God. You got them people into the problem they're in. I'm going to get them out. The ones that will believe me. And Satan says, oh, they're not going to all believe you. I'll just get all the ones I can. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get as many as he can and round them up together and preach a sermon like he did, I guess, to the angels back before time. That's his job. So now let's go to John 1:1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. I want to ask sometime, you know, if Jesus is the second person of the Trinity to denominational people, I want to ask where He fit in this creation, because the Bible tells us in many, many places, even somebody, one of the disciples, says, you're the Creator. I want somebody to explain to me why. Did the Father just stand there and watch Him do the creating? Or you know, what is this? What's the deal here? The Bible says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, there's nothing in the world made that God didn't make. There was a man sent from John. No, in him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now remember, John wasn't the light. The prophet of God in the end time was not the light. The light was, we were pointed to the correct light. Listen, Satan is a god of light. And I'm sure there's people pointing and say, well, there's God right there. There's God right there. There's God right there. But John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Listen, there was no doubt. Especially in John's mind. Now, we know a little bit later that John had a little bit of issue with that. But listen, he was directing a group of people to look at this man Jesus. You need to watch him. That's the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. I don't know how it is all going to happen. Right? He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That's what we had in the end time. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Right. Now listen, this is what we'll bring right here. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus came to save the Jewish people. Right. Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus came to give them an opportunity first. Because they were his first love. But look, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Now he's not looking then to Israel, because listen, all Israel was born flesh. There was no new birth in the Old Testament, so there was no regening or regeneration. It was natural genealogy. But he said, but which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. What? Carnally, by sex. Nor of the will of man, but of God. So he's bringing a whole new generation in here. That's, we go back to Isaiah, who shall declare his generation? Well, listen, it started on the day of Pentecost, and it has not ended yet. There's a generation declaration, and every time that God does something, he's got them in seven church ages and in all of us right up to the end, which were born out of blood. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's go to Jeremiah. Now remember, Jesus came virgin born. We know that. He was born a man, could perform as a man because he was ever whipped man, but he sanctified himself because he knew one thing's for sure. All this sex that was going on around him that was producing people was killing him. So he had to come up with a plan, see there, but it wasn't then, he'd already done it before the foundation of the world. Amen. To birth us by spiritual birth. That's why he told the sower of the seed was the Son of Man. What is the seed? It's the Word. What are you getting? You're getting regened by the Word of God. Right. Not by something out there. I can't have a different daddy. See, in these first three dimensions, you're locked into your natural genealogy. Right. Sorry, you just are. There's a lot of, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family, remember? There's other things. But there's one thing you can't pick. You're born into this. But you know what? God knew that. But see, you have a choice whether to be get into this family of God or not. You have a choice. It's your choice to be, follow me, Paul said, in the regening or the regeneration. Follow me into the regeneration. You got to go somewhere to get regened, and it's the Word of God. Now watch this, in Jeremiah, we know that Jesus came a virgin, he came to sow seed, but look, that seed that he sowed, they never had him, they never had Jesus in the Old Testament. I'm talking about Savior of the Old Testament, while the Old Testament, we know he was coming under the Old Testament, we know that, right? But he was the testator of the New Testament, because the New Testament became sowing of spiritual seed, not natural seed. Everybody got that? Because look, it said in Jeremiah 3 verse 6, said, the Lord said also unto me in the day of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and unto every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Now watch. And I saw when for all the causes wherewith backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and give her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So God divorced her in the Old Testament. Put her away because of her whoredom. She went after other gods. If you'll read in 1 and 2 Kings and read in Chronicles, there'll be a king rise up and he'll destroy every grove except for the high grove. Josiah, I think he was pretty much the only one that destroyed it all. But then you'd have another king come up. Asa would come up. King Asa would come up and he'd destroy a certain amount, but he wouldn't destroy all of it. Then this one wouldn't destroy none. He'd go right back to what? He'd go right back to idols and Balaam. And I just never could understand why there had to be a religion where you had to put your kids and sacrifice your children. What was that? Moloch? That was what they done. That was a religion. You went to a place, you went to a chapel, and you put your kid up on the altar and you had him burnt for this God. Are we that serious about ours? Some of you more serious about sleep. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not. Look at Romans 11:25, and I'm going to stop right there. Don't seem like we're getting anywhere, and I guess the excitement's gone. So maybe God will put you away. Romans 11:25. Let's see if they can find that. And we'll read it because I want you to see this. Now remember, Jesus was the plan. He wasn't part of the plan. He was the plan of redemption. And he knew that Israel was going to fall, that they would need redemption, that he had to come in flesh. But remember, when he got here, he done one thing to them and then took a Gentile bride. And he did this just for me and you. So Romans 11:25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved." Listen, it's not that he's chucked Israel out on the side of the road. He's going to save her, but she's not. She did what we were talking about a few minutes ago. She lost a position by the way she acted. You and I could lose a position by the way we acted or the way we act. We could lose a position because Israel lost a position that Jesus at one time said, "Don't go anywhere but the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And he came to his own, but we know his own received him not. But he kept going to the Jews and going to the Jews and going to the Jews. But he finally knew one thing right here in Romans 11:25. You say Jesus knew. Well, he was talking through Paul. The Holy Ghost was talking through Paul, right? Said that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. So he made a covenant with them. I can't forget Israel. How can I forget Israel? He can't forget those people. Listen, there were some mighty prophets. How are you going to do away with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Abraham? You can't do away with them. And even and listen, those are just people that's in the Bible. There's some mighty people in the Bible. Look at Hebrews 11. Barak and all the different ones and even the prophets, the little minor prophets that wasn't much spoke of, but boy, they'd come in, they'd bring a message and boom, it would be something for Israel. Well, they'd either turn him down or they'd do what he said. Most of the time they turned him down. "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins." Now, how's he going to take away their sins? Go back to Isaiah 53. He's got to give his soul. He didn't just give his soul a ransom for me and you. He gave his soul a ransom for Israel and for us to bring everybody in so that they'll be able to live and be given eternal life. But see, that very soul couldn't come back into those believers, but that very soul is in me and you today if you've got the new birth. That very soul that he gave a ransom. That's why sometimes when you tell people, "Look, you've already been to hell, you don't have to go." I really believe that. Now, me as a person, I wasn't down there standing beside Jesus. No, I was inside of his genetic makeup. Because that wasn't a body that came down there to hell. It was his soul. It was the King Theophany. It was the one that's Genesis 1:26. It was part of that Genesis 1:26. It was the Genesis 1:26 man. Amen? And you're part of that. So you've already been to hell. How do you think, one more time, how do you think we can understand a word like we do and not have the new birth? The same person that wrote it is looking through your eyes. But this plan had to bring a group of people called Israelites or Jews, because they were his first love. They were his first ones that he fell in love with, knowing they were going to absolutely kill every prophet he sent and turn him down. And that he was going to have to, listen, he literally blinded them. Because think of how religious they were, though. Take Isaiah and Jeremiah and all those different ones that by a prophetic utterance, they could see not maybe Jesus Christ standing like we see him, but they knew there was something coming. They just couldn't put their finger on it. There was something coming. Because even Paul said, I see through a glass darkly. I don't see all things. Amen? But he literally had to put his hand over Israel's eye and blinded them for me and you. That was part of the plan, though. But he said, I won't forget them, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake.
Right, right.
Let me read that again. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. He's talking to Gentiles. He's talking to a Gentile bride. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So you're not kicking Israel out. They're enemies for your sake, to bring you in, and then God's going to do what? He's going to Israel. They are beloved for the Father's sake. Listen to this. For the gifts and calling. Wow, somebody used to read. Somebody read that not too long ago. That's part of what Brother Dale's been reading. Because gifts and callings are without repentance.
That's right. Yeah.
But as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get you in, he literally blind. Listen, because they're not, listen, how many years have we been since the day of Pentecost, which was AD 30, to this day that we're at today, we're still trying to understand one God. I mean, we understand it more than anybody ever has, but it's been all convoluted down through the ages. But listen, Israel had it right to start with.
Amen.
That's why when the two prophets go to Israel and they appear and start preaching one God, that's what we're going to get into next Sunday. Israel says, where do you get those scars? He said, in the house of my friends. They're going to preach Jesus Christ so real, till the blindness is going to be pulled off their eyes, and they're going to say, man, we missed it.
Right.
He was right there among us, and we missed him.
Yeah.
Let's don't do the same thing. Let's stand at our feet. Let's don't do the same thing. Let's don't miss it. Because listen, God will not blind Gentiles like he blinded Israel. Because the fullness, the Bible says, the fullness of time has come in Ephesians. The fullness of time is our time. We can't plead ignorance that, oh, no, God blinded my eyes. No, you blinded yourself. You put your own hand, and you know what? You have no covering for that. But see, if God does something, he said, I blinded you so I could get the Gentile bride, but I'm not going to leave you. I made a covenant with you. I still love you. You didn't get agape love like the Gentiles did, but I'm fixing to give it to you.
Right.
Amen? So he gives them the agape love. Let's, musicians, come. Because listen, like I said before, the only thing that's going to be in heaven is agape love. There's not going to be any filial love. That's why Brother Bram said all the things, sex glands, all the hugging and all that, won't be any problem. Won't be any problem shouting and rejoicing and praising the Lord. Because there won't be any what? Carnality. There won't be a carnal mind. Listen, what goes into that other dimension didn't come from your mama or your daddy. That shell came from your mama and daddy so you can make a choice. Amen? Pretty simple. But I love this eternal plan of redemption. Because it includes everybody. even the lost, but it includes everybody. You can either decide to be redeemed or decide to be unredeemed. Because only the bride can be redeemed. The others can never be redeemed because they'll never come to a place to where they see what you and I see. Let's sing a song. God bless your heart. Remember all these things that we've announced coming up. Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Sunday. Wednesday, and then next Sunday we'll have our regular Sunday school like we have before. So let's sing a song. God bless you.
Page 314.
That's just His way of telling me He loves me. It's a love beyond all human understanding. And I won't question trials that bring me to my knees. That's just His way.
That's right.
Of telling me He loves me.
First verse.
He lets me walk down roads of disappointment.
Now what, look.
Oh, He watches and He knows what's best for me. Change my life completely, that it will fit His perfect will. Well, that's just His way of telling me He loves me.
It's love beyond
it's
all human understanding.
Beyond all human.
You're
going to
go through trials
of telling me,
but you're not
going to
shake your fist at
me.
God like
second
some
verse.
Have in the Old Testament, and someday you're going to say,
if
God,
I'm successful,
what's next? What's for me? What's
through
coming next for me? That's the way we should have our attitude should be that way.
He'll give me strength to climb the highest hill. Trials, and my greatest joy is knowing that He can fully trust in me. Well, that's just His way of telling me He loves me. It's a love beyond all human understanding. And I won't question trials that bring me to my knees. That's just His way.
That's right.
Of telling me He loves me.
Listen, there's something that God has for each and every one of us. You got to find it. He's not going to come to your door and just lay it out. You got to fight your way through this. You got to struggle. But just remember one thing. What the world calls wonderful, we should call filth. But what we call wonderful, they kind of shake their head at. But we're looking at an eternal plan. They're looking at something. Look, the other day, you know, you read some of the stuff online first, and it tells you how, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. That don't worry me. It shouldn't worry you. Because God said He'd take care of us. Amen? So let's just believe, be prayerful, watch. And remember, we're sheep. We have to be led. We have to be told. We have to be led. And God is leading us to the right pasture. He led us to the right pasture. Now we're going to be led to the right pasture. Because that's where the green grass is at, where we eat. Amen? Listen, settle yourself down and realize that you're in the right place. And I'm not saying this physical place. You got to decide whether you're in the right place or not. And if you believe, the Bible says, if you believe, then stand. Brother Donnie read that this morning, I believe it was. If you believe, you've done all. Stand right where you're at. Brother Brown said, if you've done everything you know to do, stand right where you're at. But listen, clear all that junk out of the way. Clear everything out. Don't have one thing. I was telling them this morning, when I'm standing here, when somebody's being prayed for, I really don't pray a prayer of healing or whatever they need. You say, well, that's kind of strange. No, Brother Branham said, you can cause someone not to get their healing. You know what he said? You can cause somebody by your unconfessed sins and your what you're thinking in your mind. So you see me standing here and somebody comes to get prayed for, I'm really not praying for that person. Because that person has come to a place that they want to pray with the person standing up here. Now sure, pray, that's okay. But you better make sure, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my thoughts. And let this brother and sister have what they need. But don't let it be there's that sin that may be carried forward because you're back there playing on your phone or you're back there doing thinking other thoughts or you wanting to get out of here and you wanting to leave and this person's they got three or four in the line and I'm really wanting to go home. Well, if you cause any of those people to not get their healing, that's on you, not them. Not on the pastor, not on the person praying, that's on you. So I just hold my hand up, I say, God, clear me of everything that person can get their healing. Now see, that's the way you approach God.
Yes.
See, that is His way. Because we're going to talk about it next week. When you pray, believe. Boy, that's hard. No, that's real simple. If I'm going to take my time and pray, I'm going to believe what I'm praying for.
Yes.
And who I'm praying to.
Right.
How many times has Brother Dale told us when somebody's preaching, the Word of God's coming forth and you get an unction that ain't nothing but the truth, like Hattie said. You need to raise your hand and say, God, my children, or God, my healing, or God, my this, because God is close. When He brings a revelation, He's right here. He didn't send a second person or a third person, and He don't send an angel. Listen, He never sent an angel to William Branham to give him a revelation. Either God came Himself and talked to him, or the angel said, now, William Branham, have you ever read over here in Deuteronomy? Remember what he said? He said the angel would give me scriptures. He said I'd spend all day searching the scriptures. Well, when there's a revelation comes, it's fresh. And whether you get that revelation or not, God's closer than he'll be if you're sitting somewhere else. You say, well, no, listen. The way the song is, that's just His way. That's His way of doing things.
Amen.
Why would God say, hey, if you get in trouble, find the temple. And the Bible even says, even if you're in another country, if you'll find the way, and I bet you, I'll promise you, every one of those people that believe that knew the direction that temple was in. And when they turned to the direction of that temple, they were holding God to His word.
Yes.
that God was obligated to get them out of trouble, because he said, I will get you out of trouble if you will look toward the temple and pray. So there's Jonah floating around in whale guts. And I believe he did this one time and got about right here. And he said, there's the temple. Lord, it's dark down here and it stinks. Get me out of this. And God had to honor that. And God spat him out right where he was supposed to be, not somewhere else. He spat him out on the very shore of wherever he was supposed to be the first time. So God's going to have his way, but if you'll turn, we don't have to turn and find a temple. You are the temple. So you say, God, you've sent us a prophet. You've sent us good preachers. You've sent us good elders. You've sent us good deacons and all different ones, but God, you're right here. Clear myself out of anything that'll keep even in here. Brother Brown said one unconfessed sin can make the church bitterly fail. Not just fail, bitterly fail. Maybe that's why we're not moving on. But you know what? Confession's good for the soul, isn't it, Brother Michael? It's good for you. I enjoyed it. It makes you feel so much better to just get it out. And it don't hurt. If it hurts your feelings, you really didn't ask forgiveness right if it hurts your feelings. Right? Because you're saying, I really meant what I said, but I'm just going to do this for... No, you better not. Clean it out. Brotherly kindness is loving those that hate you. Amen? God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for the singing and for the worship and all the... Thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to have the Sunday school back together again, Lord. That we can hear from you, Lord. Truly, we come here to hear from you, Lord. This is the place that you've set aside that we can come, Lord, and fellowship with you. But, Lord, I pray that as we go out the door that you'll fellowship with us through the week, Lord, and come back Wednesday night. Brother Aaron will be feeding us some more sheep food, Lord. I pray that you'd just sanctify us for this journey that we're on. Heal the sick, the ones that are not here that are sick, Lord. There's a list of them, Lord, but we pray that you'd touch each one. Father, forgive us of our sins and bless this day that we're in. Give us strength for the things that are coming up, Lord, and just ever be with us. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Be with the little bride all around the world, Lord, and touch each one today in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.